Immortal Temptation, written by Claire Ashgrove and read by Dina Perlman.
The Curse. In 1119, nine knights rode with Hugues de Payen to the Holy Land, becoming the Knights Templar. All were bound by marriage or blood. Eight were recorded over time. The ninth vanished into history. Beneath the legendary Temple Mount, the knights uncovered holy relics, including the Copper Scroll, a document written by Azazel's unholy hand. For their forbidden digging, the archangels exacted a sacrifice. The knights would spend eternity battling the demons of Azazel's creation. But with each vile death they claimed, a portion of darkness would enter their soul. In time, they would transform into knights of Azazel, warriors veined with evil, destined to fight against the Almighty. Yet an ancient prophecy remained to give them hope. When darkness raped the land, the seraphs would return. Female descendants of the Nephilim would carry the light to heal their dying souls. Centuries have passed. Azazel's might grows to intolerable limits. With the acquisition of eight holy relics, he will gain the power to overthrow the Almighty. Six Templars stand above the rest in duty, honor, and loyalty. But each is haunted by a tragic past, and their darkened souls rapidly near the end. As they battle both the overwhelming power of evil and the nightmares of lives they left behind, the seraphs are more than tools to victory. They are salvation. Prologue. Whence comes the teacher? She who is blind shall follow. The one who digs in dust precedes the finding of the jewel, and she who understands the sword precludes the greatest loyalty. When darkness rapes the land, the seraph shall purify the Templar and lead the sacred swords to victory. Ancient prophecy of the Knights Templar. A cool breeze rustled the trees as Hayden Thofta carefully peeled away the padding from the blade of her falchion. Beneath the heavy chain armor she wore, sweat clung to her body and pooled between her breasts, evidence of a true workout. As if the constant sting in her right shoulder, where her student had landed a lucky blow, wasn't evidence enough. "You coming with us, Hayden? We're going to grab burgers," Aaron Jameson called from the edge of the field. She glanced up with a grin. Her student, Jacob Cooley, and three other men from their Association of Renaissance Martial Arts group stood beside Aaron. Jacob looked like he could pass out any minute, but the training session had gone better than she'd expected. He'd held his own, for the most part, right up until his ego got the better of him and he challenged her. She'd trounced him soundly, save for the one initial hit to her shoulder. Hayden chuckled. "Maybe Jacob wants to commiserate with just the guys." Jacob rolled his eyes as Aaron clapped him on the shoulder. She plucked the rest of the foam off and tucked it into her duffel bag. "I'll meet you there. I need to drop by my house and put this away." No trunks for her beloved falcon. No excess heat, no lingering dirt or drops of sweat. Not for a weapon that predated the United States by a good 400 years. She really shouldn't be fighting with it, all things considered, but out of her vast collection of ancient weapons, it was her favorite. Plus, she was scheduled to film an episode of Swords and Masters with the falcon as the spotlight weapon. She needed to brush up before cameras rolled. With one last careful eye to detail, she smoothed a soft cotton cloth down the reconditioned blade once more, then brought it level with her nose and looked down the curved blade for pits to the steel or other signs of damage. Satisfied it had survived training combat as well as it had survived the passing of centuries, she tucked it into the replica wood and leather scabbard and stood, holding it tight in one hand. "Order me a double cheeseburger, would you?" she called to Aaron's retreating back. He raised a hand, indicating he'd heard, and continued on down the slight rise to the gravel parking area below.